The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And I remember one night we're going through Chicago Airport and he's marching on with his little Thomas the Tank Engine backpack. And he got tired and suddenly he stopped and he just did this. And he didn't have to say a word because I heard him. Mom, I'm tired. And I do that every day now. I'll stand before the Father and I'll go, Father, I'm tired. And I feel held by the God of miracles.
Sheila Walsh offers a lifeline of hope in an upside down world. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm telling you, this is Life Today. And you're not only watching and hearing about life today, the real life that Christ offers, abundant life, not necessarily abundance in life, but abundant life regardless of all that's around you. And we happen to have our favorite people today, the people watching our favorite people, because you're amazing. You move mountains. You never fail to notice the unnoticed and the least of these. And you don't just notice them, you're basically good Samaritans. You don't just pass by, change channels, do something else. And then we have also Sheila Walsh. Would you say she's one of
our favorite people?
On the planet she is, and was actually before she became a part of Life Outreach as a host and all the things that she does to magnify the Lord. Well, Sheila's a great singer, communicator, speaker, but she's also, in my opinion, and many people's opinion, a great writer, a great author. Here's the book. Now, let me just read the title. Holding On When You Want to Let Go. Clinging to hope when life is falling apart, when there seems to be no hope. Well, Sheila, I wish the audience was filling the studio, but we have literally, we have chosen to distance and to be certain that we in no way ever adversely affect you. But Sheila, I just believe people would be cheering, as I know they do all over the world. We're so glad to have you.
No, honestly, my husband Barry and I were talking this morning about what a gift it has been at this stage in our life to be able to stand shoulder by shoulder with you and Betty. These are exciting days. They're dark days, and they're exciting days.
Really. You know, if the enemy is going to be more successful in doing the damage, the dissension, division, and destruction that he is guilty of, the father of lies and the murderer, then how about the father's family make an imprint on the father's planet, the father's garden that we've been left here as overseers? All right, let's talk about this book.
I love the title.
It's absolutely beautiful.
That describes all of us. We've been there. We go there at different times.
You know, it's so interesting because when I actually started to write a different book, and about two chapters in, I felt the Lord say, no, this is not for this time. Put that aside. And I was like, what do you want me to do, Lord? And he said, I want you to bring a tidal wave of hope to this nation and to those around the world and to God's people. Because it's so tempting to look at what's going on and feel despair and think we're never going to make it through this. But then, you know, I have redefined redemption. Because so often when we think about redemption, we think it's all about us. It's about us being redeemed. But I was reading by Tozer this book where he said, redemption says that it's a redeeming of your mind where you place God where he always belongs, on the throne. It places us where we are in the dirt. And the purpose of redemption is he reaches from the throne and he picks us up and he raises us up. And that's why I want there to be literally a tidal wave of hope. Not a little splash, not a little rainstorm, a tidal wave of the hope of Jesus Christ.
Well, he's the blessed hope. I want you to go into detail. I've got, some of the chapter titles that I think you're obviously interested in, or they wouldn't be in here. When you feel alone, do you know that one of the things that our staff in the prayer center tell us, the number one prayer request normally has to do with health for either family, friend, neighbor, or personal health. But if there's a close second that doesn't really pop out, many people call, they're lonely.
Yeah.
We've had people who will call and say, I'm calling again today because I knew you'd talk to me. I knew you'd care. I knew you'd pray with me. So loneliness is a big factor. Deal with that for a little bit.
And honestly, that's why I wrote this book, because when COVID hit and everything changed, I found myself beginning to spiral again. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd been diagnosed with severe clinical depression years ago, but I was on a pretty even plane, doing well. But as the weeks turned into months, I found myself really spiraling and feeling tempted to let go.
Was this during those times when you really even couldn't go out and speak?
Oh, yeah, all my events were canceled.
People couldn't gather.
No, and I found myself asking the Holy Spirit, how do I live in these days? I know how to live the way it was. I don't know how to live in these days. And he began to speak to me about the hope that we have. And one of the things I began to do is going outside every single morning. We live in a three-story townhome. I'd go out in the middle on the balcony, and I would read the Psalms out loud. Because I found that Athanasius wrote, one of the early church fathers, whereas most of Scripture speaks to us, the Psalms speak for us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And that was so powerful to me, because I read three Psalms out loud every day. I'm sure our neighbors are blessed. The dog usually barks. But it's so good for our ears to hear what our eyes are reading.
I love to do that.
Do you,
Read the Scripture out loud. First of all, it just really grabs my heart, you know, and just speaks to me and encourages me and lifts me up. Yeah. And you find yourself going into praise to God.
And there's a difference between believing the Word of God and receiving the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, I did it this morning. This morning, you know, I got up and I'd had a long weekend. I was tired. And I'm in the kitchen and I'm thinking, you know, Lord, I feel heavy. And so what I do now is I raise my arms and I'm like, I'm here, Father. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like reminding me Christian when he was a little boy and traveled with us with Women of Faith. And I remember one night we're going through Chicago Airport and he's marching on with his little Thomas the Tank Engine backpack. And he got tired and suddenly he stopped and he just did this. And he didn't have to say a word because I heard him. Mom, I'm tired.
Aww.
And I do that every day now. I'll stand before the Father and I'll go, Father, I'm tired. And I feel held by the God of miracles.
You know, one of the things I've been saying to God, and I feel like I'm in the closest relationship I've ever had with the Father. I feel like I get in his lap every day. And I lean up against him. Now I literally go every day, I want to know what's on your heart. I want to know what's on your heart. And he leaps toward that desire to know.
Yeah.
And to have a positive effect in the area of his concerns. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's just something about someone really caring what's going on.
And he does.
What's on your heart? Go ahead, Sheila. Jump in another chapter, would you?
But here's one of the verses that it's like we have the Word of God and we think, oh, this is great. That's so great. But we need to have the Word of God in us. Like Psalm 46, verse 1. This is what I read this morning. God is our refuge. Mm-hmm. It's where we hide, and our strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Mm-mm.
So when I feel overwhelmed and I don't know where to hide, God, Father, you're my refuge, you're my strength, and you're always ready to help in times of trouble. So I'm just thinking of our viewers right now. You can't pay your bills. You're worried about your children. You don't know what's going to happen in your marriage. Your finances are all wacky. God is always ready to help. And it's like we have the greatest resource on the planet, but so often we don't receive what the Father has already given to us. So when I found myself spiraling like that, it was like I found myself reminding God of his promises every single day, and I still do it. Every single day I will cry out and I'll say, Father, you told me this and you told me that. So I hold on to that, because I'm thinking a lot of our viewers probably right now feel like they're on a ledge and they could slip at any minute. Yeah. I used to, before I had the two dogs I have now, and I know I can bring a dog story up, biggest dog fan on the planet over here. But I used to have a little Westie, and one day I was out taking him for a walk and he slid down a storm drain and I totally panicked and I could see he was on a ledge. And one of my neighbors came out and said, you know, my son and I will help. And they managed to get the metal plate off. And we could see this darling little dog shivering. And I knew if he slipped off the ledge, we'd lose him. So the neighbor said, listen, I'm going to hold my son's ankles and lower him down. So I said to him, listen, grab hold of him. I don't care if he bites you. I don't care what he does. Just don't let go. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a lot of people right now who feel they're on a ledge. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know God is the rescuer. And he will grab hold of you and he will not let go. I mean, God's word is full of rescue stories. Mm-hmm. Look at Adam and Eve. Look at Noah. Look at David. Look at Moses. Look at the children of Israel. Everybody. God is the rescuer.
Yes, he
and
is.
For those who feel like they're just on a ledge, don't give up hope. Hold on. God has not finished writing your story.
That's right.
He will get us out of any pit, regardless of how we got there. If we were thrown in, like Joseph was by his own brothers, if we just by circumstance fall in, or if we dig the pit we find ourselves in, he is inclining his ear. He is anxious to lift us up out of the pit, the despair and the defeat, and put our feet back on solid ground. Now, when you're talking about holding on when you want to let go, clinging to hope when your life's falling apart. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I know about the way you write. It's a lot like this. It's a conversation. It communicates, but it communicates far more than Sheila's opinion or her ideas. It actually communicates the mind and the heart and the will of God and the love of God, because that's what has literally overtaken her and taken control of her life when she many times didn't even feel like holding on, when she was full of despair and depression, and God walked her through it. So what she's put here will help you get out of whatever pit you're in, however you got there, and literally find out that he's holding on. He wants to hold you and pull you close. And this is going to inspire you. Sheila, just carry us a little more in the things that you know as people read, because you can cover a few of the bases that God put on your heart while we're talking. But when they get alone, it's just like they'll have their Bible there as they read. They'll be directed to the Bible. They'll be directed to the Father. So touch some more of these points that are meaningful.
One of the things that was huge for me was silencing the lies that we have in our head. I remember when I was 16 years old and I had the lead part of Maria in West Side Story and in our high school musical. And one of the songs is where she sings, "I Feel Pretty." And for the dress rehearsal, the whole high school came to the dress rehearsal. And I'm halfway through singing, "I Feel Pretty," when a senior boy yells out really loud enough for everyone to hear, "Well, you don't look it." And there was, the whole auditorium burst out laughing, and I was literally frozen to the spot. I couldn't move. And what that spoke to was the foundation stone in my life. We all have these foundation stones that are built in when we're little. And what I discovered was mine was, you are not good enough. There's something wrong with you. And I think when we begin to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what are the foundation stones that I have believed, and then we begin to replace them with the truth of the Word of God. Because the other night, Barry and Christian and I, our son, we were having a conversation, and Christian was talking about doing a Zoom call, and he had a baseball cap on. And Barry said, you should take your baseball cap off when you do that. That's not very professional. Christian's like, "Dad, it's just some friends." And he's like, "Yeah, but you're training to be a clinical psychologist. You need to be professional." And Christian's like, "Dad, they don't really do it like that anymore. You get to just be yourself." Well, I totally overreacted. And I said to Barry, "How can you do that? You know what?" And I mean, my response was ridiculous. And it shut the conversation down. Christian went to his room. And Barry said, "Can I help you at all?" And I'm like, "No." And he went upstairs. And I sat there and I was reduced to being that 5-year-old girl who thinks there's something wrong with her. And I interpreted everything that was going on between them as something that was wrong with me. But you know what I've discovered? I'm discovering, and this is ridiculous at this stage in age, the joy of repentance. What repentance actually means. Repentance is not an emotion, it's an action. If I wait till I feel like repenting, it'll be a long wait. And you can say you're sorry till you are blue in the face, but if you don't change your actions, and I never feel more whole than when I ask for forgiveness. And it was just like, I literally dropped to my knees in our den, and I was like, "Father, what's wrong with me?" When our reaction is stronger than the situation, there's history attached. And that's what I'm learning. It was feeding into all my old lies of, you're not good enough, you'll never be loved, you're not pretty enough, you're not thin enough, you're just not enough. And when we bring all those lies into the presence of the Lord and allow him to shine his light into the darkest corners of our heart. I mean, you had that, James. You had so many issues like that when you were just a little boy and you didn't have a father saying, son, I'm proud of you. You're the best that ever could be. We all, when we can discover those lies that the enemy loves to use and replace them with the glorious truth of, you are my son. I am so proud of you. It changes everything.
Well, you know, in today, with what everything that's going on, this cancel culture, there's a lot of condemnation, and we need to feel that redemption from the Lord and know that we are, he created us, we are special, and we are none of us are qualified.
Of course not.
Except by God's grace and his forgiveness and his love. And so if we could just get past that, because everybody, the highlight of the news today is the condemnation.
Yeah.
Because people are just being put down and you're not, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that. You're not much of a person anymore.
Yeah. Cancel culture is straight from the pit of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Cancel culture has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God begins with the understanding we're all flawed. We are all broken. But we have a redeemer. We have a rescuer. God always has a rescue plan. What our culture wants to say is, no, you're done. You're over. And when cancel culture says you're over, God says, no, you're mine.
The father of lies and the divider, the murderer, is also the accuser of the brethren. And his greatest accusations come against the brethren, the family of God. And here's the thing, when he accuses us, the sad fact is, we begin to agree with him. Mm-hmm. He accuses us of a place where we know we failed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we absolutely know. And so we find ourselves getting in agreement with the enemy rather than in agreement with God, who said, I gave my son to cover that. I never see it. It's gone as far as the east is from the west when you just receive that wonderful redemptive love, that unconditional love that I'll pour out on the prodigal, not only when you were at home or you came home, but while you're in the pig pen. I'm still loving you. I still want to redeem you. I want to cover you. I don't want to shame you. The enemy's accusing. The sad thing is we get in agreement with the enemy. Mm-hmm. We accept his accusation. Then we begin to accuse others of the brethren because he tells us something about him. It may actually be wrong. But rather than having unconditional redemptive love, we then become a divisive force ourselves. So this is going to change the lives, I believe, of millions of people. Father, I want to pray that. Because you've put something in Sheila that's far more than just a gift or talent. You're in her, in your fullness and glory, which she sees what she needs to acknowledge. Deal with this, Father, knowing that you will deal with it appropriately, perfectly. And we're not going to allow the accuser to put us down, stomp us down, overwhelm us, and overcome us. We're going to walk over the enemy. So God, please raise up millions of people that will find the hope that Sheila's talking about. In Jesus' name. Yeah. You know there's a phone number there if you need somebody to pray with you anytime. If you're lonely, many times people call and say, I just need to talk to somebody to love me. All right, do it. Feel free to call. And if you would like to have this book, you can get it online or get it in the bookstores. Okay, it's there. But let me tell you something, Sheila. We're going to go in just a moment to one of the most heartbreaking sights on the planet. We're going to see precious little children. And by the way, this is happening all over America. It's happening all over the world. And the trafficking, these children being brought over to be sold, you're going to see, listen to me, God Almighty put in the hearts of people like you, and you're going to listen to Sheila right there with these beautiful children that are being trafficked, not maybe, are. And the freedom farm is perfect, and it's in your hands, and it always does work when that love gets into the situation. And you're going to see it, and you're a part of it because you make it happen. I want you to watch closely. Let me just say this to you. You help us bless some of these who've been held captive. And you just ask, along with other gifts we have, you just say, would you please send me Sheila's book? You better believe it. Watch closely.
How do you hold on when you want to let go? When you're at your darkest point, what keeps you moving to the light? I've met some young girls that are living in the dark. They're surrounded by evil, and the light must seem so dim to them. You see, these girls are victims of human trafficking. Their lives have been turned upside down by cruel, ruthless, money-hungry individuals who see these girls and boys as nothing but a commodity to be traded
and sold. Most of these victims were tricked, lied to, or even kidnapped into brothels around the world. And now they're being held captive by chains, violent threats, and emotional abuse. What keeps these girls and boys holding on? What is the dim light in their darkness? It's hope. A hope that this torment will end someday. A hope that they can return to their families. A hope that they can get a safe, productive job to support themselves. A hope that God has a plan for their life. I can't imagine having to hold on to such a dim possibility of hope. But we can help provide a bright hope that will light up their darkness. We can help save these girls and boys. We can rescue them out of their darkness and start the healing process so that they can see God's bright plan for their lives. But we have to do it now. They're waiting. Don't let their hope die.
Sheila, it's unbelievable what's happening to children. But there is an answer. That answer is the love of God. I'm telling you, God put on the hearts of the mission workers who planted their life in the middle of that darkness and that pain. Some of them went having watched Life Today that you make possible, and they were sent to the mission field. And they spend their entire life there now. But we have to support them in order for them to reach these that are being trapped or being led into that horrible trafficking, that bondage, that indescribable slavery. We can head them off. We can reach them, we can rescue them, and then we can restore them and even teach them a craft. Give them a life. That's what God does. And it does work. Betty, we have seen the need all over the world, but we've also seen the effect of love. We can no longer tell you all the exact places these are, because oftentimes those in corruption find out and they attack. It's one of the most dangerous things a person can be involved in, but it works. Sheila, you graphically portrayed what's happening. We could see it there in the images. But what God does through those people who planted their lives there full of the love of God, because of the viewers of Life Today all over the world who say, I'm going to reach and rescue. And do you know, $128 is the average for reaching one and being able to rescue and begin the restoration process. Some viewers like you have given us a $320,000 challenge. They've been doing this now for years because they say, we so believe in the importance of this. Sheila, I think our viewers, they need to know, we've been there, you've been there. Love doesn't fail, it works, doesn't it?
It's like we have this covert army of love and hope that just goes marching in and reaches into that pit and brings these girls out and say, you are not a number to God, you are a name, you have a hope and you have a future. I've seen it with my own eyes, it's amazing.
Well, it happens because of the people right now. You say, well, we're behind the scenes. But you see, you notice the unnoticed. You notice the least of the, you notice those in prison, in bondage, held captive by the deceiver, the destroyer, and you set them free. Imagine people saying, we'll match $320,000. Well, bang, $128 is the average to save a life and to begin the process. $64 gift right now will be doubled to $128. You give $128, it won't just rescue one, but two. And we always ask, and I always will, because I believe you're able to do it. $1,280, rescues 10. Now it's 20. It doubles. We have some beautiful gifts to send you. You're going to really like it. I'm telling you, will, and children will. And so please, get your bank card, like a check, write a check, make it to Life. Call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail. What you're mailing. Please tell us. We need to know. You can go online, take that bank card and use it, or use that card and make the phone call. You're going to set somebody free, and you're going to give joy to missionaries that love these precious ones and want to see them set free. You are miracle workers. Please make that call. Make that gift.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for. are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to educate children at risk of being trafficked, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives, giving them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 Mission Rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Sheila Walsh's brand new book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, a lifeline of hope for those who feel their life is falling apart. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Beauty Out of Ashes puzzle set, featuring an image taken by our team while on a trip to the mission field. This 500-piece puzzle forms a beautiful portrait of hope in the midst of despair. Included is a 24-piece puzzle for your children and grandchildren. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, I just believe with all my heart. By the way, if you ever try to call and don't get through, remember there could be hundreds of people who are calling. Many times we will pray with over 2,000 people, many of them coming to Christ, but many of them want to be set free. If you didn't get through, keep calling until you get through, all right? And make the gift God put on your heart. And if you'd like to have Sheila's book, just ask for it. Because along with the beautiful puzzles, I mean, this is a picture that Janice Meyer took literally traveling on the mission field and walking through a community where there was some beauty from ashes. And then there's the little puzzle for children with the great big pieces. This is so cool. You want Sheila's book, ask for it. Sheila, will you share again in the next program with us? Let's talk about this.
I would love to. There's so much hope.
Yes, there is. Thank you for watching.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing hope. You are truly miracle workers.
Amen.
We love you. Thank you for helping us share God's love.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family. Do not put off this important step to peace of mind. Contact Life Planning Services today.
When I was hospitalized for a month with severe clinical depression, I prayed that God would take my life.
Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.